quickly get into just some things that I believe God has for us girls. And I'm going to be very open and candid with you. I don't know about you, but my last year was junky. Last year was a horrible year for me. Like, heartbreaking as all get up. I mean, want to talk about getting in, plugged in with God. That was like my year, was getting plugged in with God. Because it was like every day I was on my knees. Every day I was needing something from him. And every day. And so I just felt like, okay, Lord, you know, where are we going with this? And what he spoke to me, and I went back last night, and he had showed me what he had said to me, and I think it'll be encouraging to you, because we are girls, and there are times in our hearts, because we're women, we see things that sometimes the guys don't see, or sometimes our kids don't notice, and I believe that the Lord knows our hearts, and he knows where we're at. And so he spoke this to me, and I think it'll be encouraging to you. And he said, first of all, I'm going to read in Psalm 62:8 in the New Living Translation. So if you're writing notes, write it down. It's a simple verse. It says, "O people, trust in him at all times. Pour out your heart to him, for God is our refuge." You know, I don't know about you, but when I have had a hard time in life or when things are not good, sometimes the voices of other people just can't be talking anymore. And I don't want to talk. Have you ever been in that moment where you just don't want to talk? I just don't want to talk anymore. I don't want to hear what anybody has to say anymore. That's when I get to the point where I'm like, it just has to be me and God. And this is where I was last year. And it was just really such a moment of the Lord saying, listen, daughter, I need you to start to trust me. And then as the year went on and things began to happen and good things happened through that year, it just was a heavy year. And as those things went on, the Lord said to me, do you trust me? And he would drop that in my heart all year long. Do you trust me? Do you trust me? And every time he would say it, it was almost like, oh, yeah, yes, I do. And it was a reminder of, I'm not in this alone. I'm not doing life alone. That whatever happens is, it's not just what it's going to be. You know that saying, it is what it is? I felt like God was like, no, do you trust me? It's not is what it is. It's, do you trust me? Because then I can make it what I need it to be. But until you release your will, release your heart, release those things, then when you hold my hand through this, I will walk you through it. And so in Psalms 37:3, it says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Listen, it's good for us this year, the first of this month, to start writing things down. Because what we can do is we can then go back in the middle of the year, and we're going to go back and we're going to see that God was faithful in what we were talking about. He was faithful in what we said, and when we poured out our heart to him, he heard our cry. And he went before us and he made a way. And I love in Habakkuk when it says, write it down for those around you that they may read it and they will run with it. And I said to the church on Wednesday, listen, you never know, if we're writing something down, one day our kids, when we're gone, may get a hold of that book. And they may be in a moment, and God spoke it to us and spoken to our hearts. But I believe as moms, we leave legacies for our family. And there are nuggets, and I know my mom has given me so many nuggets, things that I have them written down, and I go back to my notes on my phone often. And I actually do a little thing. It might help you get a little organized in your notes. I have like a little section that says nuggets. And when there's something that I'm discouraged over, I will go back to my nuggets notes and I will go and find things. And every time it seems like the Lord speaks something to my heart. So write it down, because he wants us to trust him, because he has a direction for us. So trust in the Lord and do good and dwell on the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. You see, you guys, it's not us. It's him. He knows what our need is. He knows what it is that's going on. And we have to trust him enough to let it go, to give it to him, and to move on. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he shall bring it to pass. There are things that I'm sure we are all believing God for something. There's always something that we can believe God for. And I believe that this year is a year to believe God. This year is a year to get in faith. This year is a year, like Luke said, to get educated on the word of God and find out what it is we need to learn and what it is that we need to know about this word, so that when things come, this is what comes out of us. This right here is what will come out. And you got to fill yourself up. And so the Lord says, trust me. Trust me. And Cheryl Salem, how many of you enjoyed her when she was here on Sunday night? Cheryl Salem says something, and it just went off in my heart. And I really believe she said it last year in the beginning of the year to me. And she said, Jess, if I could give you any advice, because I always ask her, like, if you could give me any advice, what would it be, you know? And she said, this is what I would say to you. People are going to let you down. She goes, that's just human nature. We do it to each other, and that's just life. She goes, but if you trust God and not man, you will always stand on 2 feet, and you will always be able to keep going. And I just thought, wow, that's good. You know, it doesn't mean we don't love people, because of course we love them. And we trust the ones that we are around. But what I'm saying is, if you put everything into a human, we are sin nature bound. That is what we are, sin nature here, guys. And we are going to make mistakes. It's just how life is. But we have a king, and we have a God who is perfect in every way, who loves us more than we can even hope, dream, or imagine. And if we put our trust in him and we commit our ways this year to him and we hold his hand through this thing called life, then every battle and every good moment and every refreshing day and everything in life will become beautiful again. You will begin to see a different perspective. You will begin to see life a little brighter. You will begin to see life a little clearer. And so maybe you've had some foggy days, because I had a lot of foggy days last year. But I'm believing God for really good days this year. And I'm believing God for him to awaken some things inside of me. And I know that if I'm believing God for that, I know he has that for you too. And so let's do it together. Let's believe God to awaken our souls. Let's believe God for something bigger and better that he's put inside of us. And you say, I don't think that there's anything inside of me. I don't know. Listen, I feel the same way. But God knew us before we were in our mother's wombs. And doesn't matter what we think. It matters what he thinks. And when we tap into him and when we trust him, he's going to begin to reveal things to us. So let's just plug in this year. Let's write things down. Let's get with God. Let's face him face to face. And this is what he told me at the very end of everything. And I loved this. He said, take each day and trust me in it, Jess. Take each moment and live with me in it. It was just so simple to me. It was like baby steps. You know, have you ever seen that movie, What About Bob? Okay, if you have not seen that movie, it is your homework to go home and watch What About Bob, okay? It's probably on Netflix. It's a really old movie, but it is a whole movie, and he talks about baby steps and just about how you take a baby step here, you take a baby step. And I believe that sometimes we try and get the bigger picture of everything, and God says, come back and take a baby step. One step at a time, one moment at a time. Hold my hand through this. We're going to get through this. And listen, you are going to make it this year, and you're going to look back at the end of this year. I believe if we are a body and a unified team, we're going to trust God together. We're going to believe God for the big things together this year. We're going to get equipped. We're going to get educated. We're going to get filled. We're going to be moved by what God is moved by, and we're going to love what God loves, and that is where we're going with this. So, girls, trust God on an everyday basis. Start your fast if you haven't, and start writing some things down, okay? I love you. This is a video, and if you go ahead and watch it, and when we're done, Pastor Deborah or Eleanor is going to come on up.
It's beautiful, isn't it? The Lord will be with you. This is God's promise for us. So welcome back to Girlfriends from me also. It's so awesome to see all of you. It feels like yesterday we were here before Christmas. And so times come and times go. But you know, thank God for times and seasons. Thank God for new beginnings. Thank God for a new year. So if you're sitting here and have any area of discouragement in your life or whatever is happening, just know God is the God of new beginnings. That's just who God is. There's always hope. There's always more. There's always mercy. There's always more of God. And God always means business with us and always wants to speak to us. He actually always speaks. It is for us, up to us to listen. So thank God for new beginnings, and thank you, Pastor Jess, for sharing that with us. That was beautiful, and we can all relate to many of the things that Pastor Jess was talking about, and it just so happens that, you know, life happens. Things happen. Things come along that you did not anticipate. Looking back at last year for me, it was a beautiful year with God's blessing. I have a new grandbaby that was born. My youngest son graduated from college. But overall, 2013 was a tough year for me. It was a rough year. It was a year of really being called to walk by faith and walk in faith and walk close to God. And thank God for those times, but it wasn't easy. On a relational level, a lot of things happened. I had to see my mother, you know, that is ready to go to heaven. I don't know if I'll see her again. And that relationship, just saying those goodbyes. And I was thinking this morning of our dear friends, Pastor Carl Saunders and Vivia, that are like spiritual parents to us for many, 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 many years. They're getting older and they have issues. They cannot travel that much. We always used to see them once a year, and we're going to have to say goodbye to that relationship because they are just not able to do the things they've done before. And, you know, you live long enough and life brings the beautiful things, and life also brings those things that sometimes hurt us. You know, so what is it in your life that is painful this morning? What is it in your life that you are struggling with that's making you heavy laden, that God, that you need to give to the Lord this year? In the beginning of the year is a great time to mark the year and say, Lord, this is the year of my victory. And I say, Lord, thank you. This is the year of redemption for me. This is the year of blessing. This is the year that God is going to do something great. But what about, we listened last night, Pastor Deborah had an amazing message. If you were not in church Wednesday night, please go ahead and get the video or listen online. What about your dreams and your desires? What about those things that are burning in your heart? What do you do with those and think maybe it's too late? No, it's not too late. As I was pondering what to say to you this morning, I was reminded of a time in my life when I had a crisis. You know, we go through those times of crisis. Somebody calls it a crisis of belief, crisis of faith, where you are confronted right face to face what you believe. Are you going to choose to continue believing what you, it's a crisis because you have to choose again. And I recall a time like that in my life when I was much younger. I remember turning 29. My firstborn just turned 29 yesterday. And that also reminded me of 29. I just decided I'm going to stay in the 20s for as long as I could. So when I turned 30, I said to myself, no, it's the first anniversary of my 29th birthday. And when I turned 31, I celebrated the second anniversary of my 29th birthday. So I went on like that, and I'll never forget. I had a midlife. It was not midlife for me. It was early. But that was the first time in my life that age became an issue to me. And I remember I was 33 years old, and I think, oh, great. How did I get to be 33? I just totally missed from 29 to 33. And I had issue. I had a crisis. And I remember I had little children, busy life in ministry. And it was a marker in my life. It was a marker because I fell on my face before God. And I said, God, I don't know what you have in store for me. I do not know what the future holds. I don't always know what tomorrow is going to bring, but this is me consecrating myself. I fell on my face and I said, God, I'm going to seek you. That's the only thing I know now. I am going to seek you like never before in my life. And I can tell you, God has blessed us above and beyond. There is never a time that you see God, that you invest. It's like investing. There's never a time that you see God, that God does not reveal himself. Although last year to me was a year, God. And if you've had those times, I know God is there. I am in faith. I know what I know. I believe what I believe. But there are times that God just allows circumstances to just get to you a little bit, to exercise you, because that is how you come back stronger. And when this beginning of this year came, I had felt that same determination coming. Now I'm 53. How in the world did that all happen? Not that it is about age, because I think I've settled that. But I'm 53 and I'm thinking, God, what do you have for me? What is your will for me? And things burning in my heart and desires and dreams and all that. And once again, like the day when I was 33, fell on my face and I said, God, there's only one thing I know to do. And that is, I am just going to seek you with all of my heart, with all of my mind, with all of my strength, because I know you are faithful. I know your word has promises when we seek you. I just don't want anything else, Lord. I just want more of you. And I really believe for us as a company of women, God is so desiring to pour himself out in our lives more. God always has more for us than what we think, because he is so much bigger than what we are. So let us take a hold of this. Let us take a hold of this new year and say, this year is going to be marked as a year in my life that I'm going to see God with all my mind, all my soul, all my strength, everything that is within me. You know, it's like when you look for keys. Have you lost your keys? Your car keys, you dress ready to go somewhere. You need the keys like right now. You do not care about the dirty floor. The dog needs to go potty. The kids that need to call. You don't think about the groceries or what you're even going to eat or even where you're going to go. All your energy, everything just focuses on I have to find my keys. And I think that is the kind of determination that we need to have. This year, I am going to seek you, Lord, with all my heart, all my mind, all my strength, which means I'm going to focus. Some of the translations, some of the words of seek in scripture means to beat a path. That was interesting to me. It's like walking in a path for the first time and then walking again and walking again until there's a clear path that is beaten. That is what it means to seek the Lord, and it is a great investment. So I've told you about my life, but I want to share with you a glimpse out of the life of a 92-year-old that I read about. Some of you may have read this, but this is a story of a 92-year-old lady that is very prim and proper, dressed every morning, makeup on. Although she's going blind, she is just dressed from head to toe every morning and ready for the day. Been married to her sweetheart for 70 years. He passed away. She no longer could live in her house. Some of us can identify that's where our parents are and breaks our hearts. But she went into the retirement home and she got there and she was sitting around and waiting for them to take her to go show her room. So this is the report from the person who was assisting her at the retirement facility. He was going to show her. She waited for many hours in the lobby, and finally she gets in the elevator, and this person is saying, I provided a visual description to her of her tiny room, including the eyelet sheets that had been hung in her window. I love it, she stated with enthusiasm of an 8-year-old having been presented with a new puppy. And the lady said, Mrs. Jones, you haven't seen your room yet. Just wait. She said, that doesn't matter and doesn't have anything to do with it, she replied. Happiness is something you decide on ahead of time. Whether I like my room or not doesn't depend on how the furniture is arranged. It's how I arrange my mind. I already decided to love it. It's a decision I make every morning when I wake up. I have a choice. I can spend the day in bed recruiting the difficulty I have with the parts of my body that no longer work, or get out of bed and be thankful for the ones that do. Each day is a gift, and as long as my eyes open, I focus on the new day and all the happy memories I have stored away just for such a time as this in my life. She went on to explain, old age is like a bank account. You withdraw from what you've put in. So what is your deposit going to be this year? Seriously, it's not up to your husband. Don't blame your kids, your husband, your parents, or any of that. You're sitting here as an individual woman of God with a mighty God on the inside of you. And what is it that you are going to deposit? Here's what I say. Let's seek the face of God like never before. So many scriptures, I'm just going to mention some. The Lord says in Deuteronomy, seek and you shall find him if you seek him with all your heart. God is not trying to hide from you, but God is not going to scream louder than all the other voices in your life. You need to make the choice to cut out some things. We're talking about a fast, to avoid some things, cut out some things, focus your attention with God. And the Bible says you will find him if you seek him with your whole heart. They did evil because they did not seek the Lord. The Bible says evil came because people did not seek the Lord. Here's Jehoshaphat. It reminded us of us during this year with the fasting, especially this month. Jehoshaphat feared, the Bible said. Then it said, set himself. Oftentimes it says, I set myself to seek the Lord. Set himself to seek the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast. Then we know in Matthew 6, it says, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added unto you. Without faith, the scripture in Hebrews that we all know, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. It says, we have to believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of who? Those who seek him, those who diligently seek him. There is a promise. There is a reward. See, the beauty is no matter what your circumstance, it's true for you. You seek the Lord and he will be found by you. So my scripture is Psalm 119:10. There is a psalm, most people believe David wrote it. It says, with my whole heart I have sought you. And when you go home today, please read the rest of the psalm, because here are some things added in the psalm that it says, your word I have hidden in my heart. It's the word of God. Seeking God, it's the word of God. Then the next verse says, with my lips I've declared your word of truth. Then the next verse says, I've rejoiced in the way of your testimonies. And then the next verses say, I will meditate. And the next verses say, I will delight myself. There is a guide for us in how to seek the Lord. It talks about hide the word of God in your heart. With your lips declare it. Rejoice in the ways of God. Meditate on the things of God. And delight yourself in the things of God. So let us do that. I would like for us to finish off with a declaration. I have a slide for you with this psalm, because I'm done with my piece. I have a slide for you about this psalm in the Message translation. And would you like to say it with me, read it with me, that you can hear yourself? You want to do that? And let us just focus on the Lord with that. Do you girls have the slide in the back? They're going to put it up. That is Psalm 119, verse 9 through 16 in the Message translation. Okay. It starts with, how can a young person live a clean life? By carefully reading the map of your word. And then we start, I'm single-minded. Shall we read it? I'm single-minded. Okay, let's go. 1, 2, 3. I'm single-minded in pursuit of you. Don't let me miss the road signs you've posted. I've banked your promises in the vault of my heart so I won't sin myself bankrupt. Be blessed, God. Train me in your ways of wise living. I'll transfer to my lips all the counsel that comes from your mouth. I delight far more in what you tell me about living than in gathering a pile of riches. I ponder every morsel of wisdom from you. I attentively watch how you've done it. I relish everything you've told me. I won't forget a word of it. So thank you, Lord, for your word to our hearts and for your word that brings life, that shakes us on the inside. Help our hearts to rise up in fear, be faithful to you, and truly when the day of harvest come, we shall reap a beautiful harvest in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Shape. Okay, good. Wow. So I'm Debbie Cobray. If you're here for the first time and you may not know who I am, I'm Deb. So you can just call me Deb, Pastor, whatever. Let me just review, because I've been taking notes as our leaders have been speaking to us this morning. Jesse opened us up, and she said, Mom talks about a hiatus, so I quickly looked it up in the Webster's Dictionary. Hiatus is a gap in a sequence. It's what it means, a gap in a sequence. And in 2011, when recession really hit us hard here, we shut everything down except services, just so we could survive. And so our Women Rock Conference that we've had for 10 years and all of our special events, everything that we did, men's conferences, everything, we're shut down. And so here it is, 2014. And economically, things haven't changed. But spiritually, everything's changed. And so we are revving back up Women's Conference. We are revving back up Men's Conference. We are bringing again the celebrations, because we have decided that regardless of what the normal is in the world, the standard is continuous in the way of God and the kingdom of God. So I love what Jess said. She says, let's fast this year. Let's begin this year with a fast. I'm the worst faster in this room. I called Jess yesterday and I said, I fasted from after breakfast until before lunch. I did 3 whole hours. That's about where I'm at. And then Jess, she's my daughter, in case you didn't know that, for you that are here for the first time. Jess, when she was growing up, I mean, when I raised her, she was a skinny kid and she had to eat. I mean, if I didn't feed this kid, she would just be so cranky, it would be horrible. It's called what? Hangry. She's invented a word. Hungry and angry is hangry. There you are. A new word in the English Webster's Dictionary. Hangry. Anybody got kids like that? If they don't eat, they get grumpy? Okay. So for Jess to fast, we all have to sort of steer clear for a while. Because she's frustrated like her son Micah. God, what do you want from me? I love that. Micah's 6 years old, and he is a spitting image of his mom. And just he looks like his dad, but he's got his mom's heart. And Jess is one of my favorite people on the planet. One of them. But she is, of all the kids, and don't tell the others. Are they back there? Oh, yeah, they're all back there. I didn't mean that. We'll fight like a cat and a dog, mom and daughter, but I love her heart. And I know that God has called her and this generation to step in now and take more the reins of leadership. And it's because my generation, which was used by God to build a foundation, we won't be here when you kids are here and your kids are growing up. We won't be here. We'll be part of the great cloud of witnesses. And we'll be cheering you on from heaven if we can. I'm not sure what's going to happen up there. I don't know how much we get to see, because that's just a little peek right now in the Word of God. But if we can, we will be. And we'll join heaven's company. But you'll be here raising your children, raising up your grandchildren, dreaming and building and bringing the kingdom of God to your generations. And we've built this church on the Word of God. Upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. That is the foundation scripture of the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. God gave that to Jim and I 25 years ago when Jesus said to Peter, who do people say that I am? And he says, thou art the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And he said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. This is Matthew chapter 16. For flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And upon this rock, upon this revelation of who I am, the Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah, God in the flesh, upon this revelation that I am here, I will build my church, my ekklesia, my ecclesia. It's a Greek word. My ruling, governing body, my administration, my church, and the very gates of hell will not prevail against it. And from that generation, 2,000 years to now, the gates of hell have not prevailed against the church of the living God. It has changed our world. It has changed everything about this planet. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And your generation is now stepping in and taking the reins and the flame and the fire and the torch that we're handing to you. And And I pray for you that you will be incendiaries for Jesus Christ, that you'll not be fearful and you'll not be cowardly and you'll not be women that will become lazy and become intimidated by this world, but you'll become women of God, warriors in the house of God, strong and able, raising up godly children, the next generation, raising up your grandchildren, dreaming your dreams, building your businesses, building your projects, loving your men and your families, and being all that God has called you to be. And that's what we're doing here. That's why we gather you. This is a miracle, this church. This church is made of what the city is made of, what our valley is made of. It's made of black and white, Hispanic, Asian. Every culture that is in our valley belongs in this church because we are of one blood. We are of one blood. There is only one blood that runs through the veins of humanity. It came from one set of parents. Our outward is different. I call that our outward paint and our landscaping. But there's only two body styles, male and female. And that's it. We belong to each other. And we belong to each other as family. And Jess said, I love this. I wrote it down. Jess said, stay together, dream, take each day and trust God in it. I love that. One day at a time. God didn't tell us to borrow tomorrow. He told us to live today. Today for trouble is all you need to think about. Plan for the future, but don't live in the future because grace cannot be stored. It's like manna. You can only take it day by day. She said, take each day and trust God in it. And I love this. Take each moment and live with God in it. Moments make up hours, which make up days, which make up life. And when I was in Washington a week and a half ago, Jess and Luke went with me to say goodbye to my father. We are always saying goodbye to my father. He is the everlasting energizer bunny that has been dying for 35 years. He made his 88th birthday, and he is quite ill. And we know that he is going home. But he has been the stubbornest person I've ever met to stay here. And my mom is selfish as she can be and doesn't want to live one day without him. And she wants him here. So the two of them are a bit of a mess right now. And it's precious to be with them, but it's hard. Because there are goodbyes and there are hellos. There is a time we're born and the time we die, and in between is our life. So I'm in a season of saying goodbye to my parents. And when I was there, I wrote this down, and I said it last night, and I wrote this thought down, and I said, heaven is our great hope. Life is the journey there. And for love of the King, we use faith to get us there. Heaven is our great hope, because without heaven, life has no meaning. We live and we die. And God didn't create us to live and die here. He put eternity in our heart, according to the song of Saul, excuse me, the book of Ecclesiastes. God has set eternity in our hearts. We are eternal beings made in the image of God. And the day that we are born, between the day we're born and the day we die, that dash in between on that tombstone is our life. Our life is a dash. It's a race. It's a marathon. It's a journey. And from the time we're born to the time we die, we are traveling and moving and changing. Nothing is going to stay the same. You and I are not staying the same. Our children won't stay the same. I've got these amazing grandchildren, and I love Christmas. I love Christmas. I could have Christmas all year round. Probably, maybe not, but I think I could. And I tell these wicked little stories to my grandchildren because they believe everything I say. You know, the ones that are 3 and 4 and 5, they're actually not wicked, but I have to get permission from the parents because I can spin a tale and I think, oh, am I breaking, you know, God's rules here? Because I have all these nutcrackers. You know, I have hundreds of nutcrackers, and I tell them at the stroke of midnight on Christmas Eve, the nutcrackers all come to life. And there is a party. Like you can't believe. I said, and you guys never get to see it because you're always with your parents on Christmas Eve. So I've gotten away with it. But now they all want to come to Nana's house for Christmas Eve and see the Nutcracker. You know, life is full of goodness and color and light and joy and laughter. It can be full of darkness and sorrow and depression and death, strife and contention. Or it can be filled with the life of God and the joy of God and the light and the colors and the textures and the smells and the fragrance and the beauty of our God all around us all the time. It's just what we choose to see. And this year, God said, live in the moment with me every day. God said, take each day, one day at a time. Then through Eleanor, wasn't that beautiful? That 92-year-old wisdom that was coming out of that beautiful woman. Old age is a deposit of what we put in. God said through Eleanor, seek me this year. Seek me. I'm hearing the same sound through every message. Seek me. This is a time to seek me. This is a time to grow. This is a time to be hungry for my word. This is a time to devour the word of God and learn God and know him and understand him and let the kingdom of God grow on the inside of us. And God always does that because he prepares us for what's coming. Does he not? So now will you allow me to get a bit prophetic again? Because this is where I want to go, and it's a bit of a change, but I'm going to go there. I thought I was going to end up in love, but I'm going to go somewhere else. I want you to see on the overhead Psalm 84:9. And it says, O God, behold our shield and look upon the face of your anointed. Now I want you to look at this in the Message Bible. And it says, look at our shields glistening in the sun. Our faces shining with your gracious anointing. When I see these verses, something stirs in me, and the old battle axe, the old sergeant at arms, the Nana, the warrior comes up in me once again. Because this church was built upon Matthew 16:18, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. From the beginning, we've been in a war, and it's a war between good and evil. It's a war of light and dark. It's a war between satanic forces and the kingdom of God. And I'm not wrestling with flesh and blood I'm not wrestling with flesh and blood, but I'm wrestling with principalities and powers and rulers in high places. And girls, if you think for a moment you're not in a war, you're kidding yourselves. But the way we fight this war and how we wage this war is completely opposite of anything in the flesh. Anything in the flesh. You don't fight this war in the flesh any more than you come against flesh and blood, because that's not what you are coming against. It's not your problem. People will manifest demonic things to you in relationships, in circumstances, but that's not your enemy. Your enemy is not flesh and blood. They are nothing more than slaves to darkness if they're not born of the Spirit of God, and if they are and you're warring with each other, we're in sin. And we got to walk in the love of God. But what I want you to see is our shields are glistening in the sun. Our face is shining with your gracious anointing. It's a good fight of faith. The warfare that God has called you and I to as women of God is not something to be afraid of. It's not something to back off of. It's something to absolutely shine our shields and sharpen our swords, which is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and begin to pull the sword out for 2014. Hold up the shield of faith. Put on the armor of God. Your head is got a helmet of salvation on it, which is the hope of your salvation. Heaven is our hope. If I don't have my eyes focused on why I'm here, I'm going to get distracted by life, by debt, by children, by relationships, by sorrow, by trouble, by anger, by frustration. Life happens and life is going to come at me so fast. If I don't keep the helmet of salvation on my head, if I don't absolutely remember and focus every day, I am here to do the will of God. I am here to raise up a godly generation. I am here to love my husband more than I've ever loved him in my life. I am here to love my church. I'm here to love my people, my family. I'm here to love God. I am here, and my helmet must be on my head because I'm in a war, and the war is going to get harder. It's going to get stronger. But guess what? God's raised up a generation of Calebs and Joshuas. He's raised up a generation of women to say, oh, hell no, we're going to take the land. We're going to do what God told us to do. We're going to see God's prosperity and God's kingdom come to our generation in the name of Jesus. And Satan, you can't have my family. You can't have my marriage. You can't have my city. You can't have my finances. You can't have my career. You cannot have my church. You cannot have my relationships. Period. So girls, I'm telling you to get tough. Not tough with humanity, but you get tough with the devil and get your swords out and let your shields glisten in the sun. Now look at that verse again. Glistening in the sun, the light is shining on my shield of faith. This is a picture. This is an image. You've seen Xena, the warrior princess. Well, I need Xenas again this year. You can either cry and be pissed off all the time. Did I just say pissed off? Forgive me. That was an unladylike and ungracious word. It probably fits San Bernardino, but I'm not sure it fits the kingdom. You can be frustrated, angry, or we can actually enjoy the journey and enjoy the battle because Paul says it's a good fight of faith because we win. Our shields are glistening. Our face is shining with your gracious anointing. You know what that means? It means the oil, the anointing oil, that oil that has been smeared over us, that oil that has been poured over us. It's heaven's anointing. It's called God the Holy Spirit, the power of God, the creator of heaven and earth. The Holy Spirit is the agent of creation. He hovered over the waters waiting for the word of God to speak. And then the Holy Spirit came and created it all. He is the very breath of life. He is the ruach of God. He is God's breath, God's wind, God's fire. He is a person. He is in us, but he has anointed us just like Jesus. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good works and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Acts chapter 10. You have an anointing on your lives. This year, as you press in to seek God, as you press in to read and study, as you press in to deny the flesh and to awaken the spirit, that anointing is going to grow in your lives. You will not be the same women you are right now at the end of this year. You will not. You will be more lovely. You will be more feminine. You will be more gentle and gracious in the outward. But on the inside, you will be warriors and tough and strong and able to take out darkness, able to discern what is good and what is evil, able to understand what the will of God is in a situation, and you will become very skilled with the sword. Now, how many of you would like that? And have you ever seen Hunger Games? I didn't like the first one because it was kids killing kids. I saw the second one. When I see that, something inside me stirs. She's got on leather. She's got a sword. She's got a bow and an arrow. And she is so skilled with that arrow, she can take out anything. And I thought, God, you know, why am I stirred about this stuff? This is because on the inside of you, I've put the warrior spirit. And you're not taking out humanity. You're saving humanity. You're gathering humanity. You're bringing humanity into me. It's the love of God that brings us to repentance. It's the mercy and the compassion of God. But when it comes to darkness, there is no mercy. There is no compromise. There is a line drawn in the sand, and it's good and it's evil. It's darkness and it's light. It's God's way or no way. and no compromise. And that's why I need skillfulness with my sword and my shield of faith to quench all the fiery darts of the devil. Must be held up, which means when you're holding your shield up, your arm can get tired. So we've got to strengthen our arms. And that Proverbs 31 woman, she strengthens her arms and she's fit for the battle. Are you with me? So, and this, can I have one more scripture up? No, and I'll close with this. Psalms 115, verse 14. In the Message Bible, it says, oh, let God enlarge your families, giving growth to you and growth to your children. That's what God wants to do this year. He wants to enlarge us. He wants us bigger on the inside, bigger in our ability to believe God, stronger in our ability to contend against darkness and not grow weary in well-doing and stop. It's not time to stop. This is boot camp this year. All right? We're going to get tougher this year. Not as women. I'm not talking about being mean and ungracious like that word I said is unacceptable. I know we laughed at it, and it's fun to have a laugh. But you know what? God says that we are gracious women, class acts. Actually, really class acts. He wants to take the rough edges off of our flesh and make us gracious and polite and lovely on the outside. But boy, on the inside, don't mess with my kids. Devil, don't mess with me. Don't mess with my husband. Don't mess with my pastors. Don't mess with my friends. Don't mess with my church. Don't mess with my family. Because there is no mercy to darkness. God wants to enlarge our families. He wants us to grow up. He needs us to grow up because there's a massive business. It's called the kingdom of heaven. He wants to give to us, to manage. Hello. And he needs the kids ready to manage the assets. Are you willing to do that? Number two, in the King James, it says, in the New King James, it says, may the Lord give you increase, 115, verse 14, more and more, you and your children. We are women. If you don't have children in the natural, God will give you spiritual children because you have been given the gift of womanhood. Godly womanhood is a gift. You are made in the image of God. You're not a man. God didn't make you a man. He made you a woman. You are the second model. There's two versions, male and female. That's it. And Dad, God the Father, he's not a man that he should lie. We look like him. He is not male or female. He's God. He's a father image. But he understands and he has a very feminine side. So does the Holy Spirit. So does Jesus. It's not about gender here. There's not male nor female, Jew nor Greek, bond or free in the kingdom of God. We're all one in Christ. All right? So, but as women, we have been given a natural womb. We've been given different plumbing. We've been given a different way of being programmed in our minds. We are women. God wants us to be women that step into nurturing and being maternal women, loving our children, our grandchildren, and loving our husbands and making homes a piece of heaven this year. And that's a big assignment because that means you have to die because the work is endless. There is no sleep and there's no paycheck for it. Isn't this fun? But you're building a legacy. And like Eleanor said from the 92-year-old woman, old age is a deposit of what we've put in it. And you deposit into your families, and God will deposit into you. And there's nobody that can make you more frustrated or hurt you more than a family. Is that not true? It's family. That's the hard part, is family. So, my darlings, what is God saying? He's saying, get on your weapons, strap up your boots, put on your helmets, let your shields glisten in the sun. Pull out your swords. There's a war, but it's a good war. We win. We are not trying to make something happen. We are enforcing what God has already won for us. Does that make a difference? Put on your weapons. Let your shields glisten. You have an anointing on your lives. As Jess said, live every day with God and live in the moment with God. As Eleanor said, seek him with all your hearts this year. And as I have said to you, put on your weapons. Get ready for a glorious fight of faith because we're going to win. Let's dream. Let's believe God. I don't care what the economy's doing. I don't care what the country's doing. I don't care what the world's doing. What I care is what my King is doing. And he says that with God, nothing is impossible. All things are possible to those that can believe him. So girls, let's break through in 2014. Let's dream bigger. Let's leave greater. Let's believe God. Let's believe God this year. What is it that you have been believing for that hasn't happened? I want you to get with God. I want you to pull out that dream, dust it off, and take it before the Lord again, because it's time to dream again. And let's see, girlfriends have to go to two girlfriends. We're packed out right now. Let's believe God for two this year. There's more women we need to gather. There's more women we need to love. There's more women that need to be rescued and need to be brought into the kingdom of God. There's more women that, because you know what? Man is the head, but woman's the neck that turns the head, and she's the heart of the home. She's the heartbeat of the home. If God can get the heartbeat beating after his heart, guess what? Your homes are going to beat with the rhythm of grace and the rhythm of faith and love, and they will be healthy homes. I'm done. We have 13 more minutes, so Pastor Eleanor, Pastor Jess, I love you. I love the team. I love this generation. I love the old. I love the young. I'm so excited. And you young ones, listen to me. God is faithful. He loves you. He wants to bring angels to your aid. He wants to help you live with that man you're married to. Raise those children. Don't you dare give up, and don't you dare be discouraged, because you are loved by the King, and we have your back, us old girls, and we love you, and we adore you, and we believe in you. And the old girls, let me tell you something, there's a lot of life left in us. So you old warriors, shields up and swords out, let's kick some butt, and let's see what God wants to do with us this year.